Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We love Jordan Lewis on the show. He tweeted out, y'all lame as hell for panicking like this. And a lot of people started firing back at him and were like, hey, there's a reason to panic. And mostly it's about 25 years of mediocrity. And that's one of the reasons, I think that's where a lot of people stand, is we've seen this over and over and over, and we're tired of it.
My simple response to Jordan Lewis would be, join us, why won't you? You know, like, you have lost to every good team you have played except for one. And I know some people will dispute even that. So why don't you join us in worrying about the fact that you have beaten up on garbage teams and lost to the good ones. And if you made the playoffs, you would get wiped out expertly. So yes, I am panicking. And yes, I do think it's fair that Cowboys fans panic. And yes, I kind of wish that Cowboys players would act a little bit more panicked, or at least give off the illusion that they are concerned that they are underachieving potentially yet again. Maybe that's why we start off slow in all of these games, because we roll in every game and we're like, yeah, I hope we win. Instead of, I swear to God, if we don't beat the Vikings, I'm going to smash in a wall.
Yeah,
that's what I want to happen every time.
That's kind of the feeling that I kept getting from Jerry this morning, was, look, they are a good team. You got to give credit to them being a good team. But the Cowboys, you're supposed to be a good team.
Yeah.
You're at home. You're supposed to be a good team that beats good teams. Whenever you walk in, Jerry's been accused of this for a long time. Hey, the expectation is Super Bowl, right? And since, even when they were 5-11, the expectation was Super Bowl. He was selling it out there, right? Well, now they walked into this season and they've said it. This is the best talent we've had since that 92-93 Super Bowl team. That's what they were telling us. And so I know that team lost some games. They also didn't look this bad losing them. And that's where I think the concern for the Cowboys fan is right now, is that we thought this team was supposed to be a dominant machine. And right now, you look at the standings, they don't belong with San Francisco. They don't belong with Seattle. They don't belong with Green Bay. And it makes the loss to Green Bay and New Orleans look even worse, because that's how far away you are from being a good team. That's how, I know it's, oh, it was only 4 points to the Vikings, but that's how far you are away. You're going to lose in the playoffs if you're going to say they're a good team. You're a good team. That's what you're supposed to play like. You have a lot of problems, though. They have a lot of problems they got to fix.
I know things change from week to week in the NFL. We talk about that all the time, but you were going up against a Vikings team that I will also concede they are a good team, but they also just lost to the Matt Moore-led Kansas City Chiefs. And the Matt Moore-led Kansas City Chiefs have won two of their last six games, and one of those wins is over the Vikings. So you weren't going up against a Vikings team that had, like, this incredible sense of momentum and destiny around them. They had just lost to an inferior team. And you just lost to what you should think is an inferior team. And instead it's like, well, you know, what can you do? The NFL is tough. Yeah, the NFL is tough. That's why we watch football in January without being emotionally invested. That's why we always, if you're 25 years or younger, you have never seen a February football game that you're emotionally invested in if you're from the Metroplex. Ever!
I was alive for some, but I don't remember them.
Yeah, and how awesome is that? That you, a lot of people listening to the show right now, their memories of the Super Bowl are going over to a friend's house for a party where they're not invested in who wins. And I'm telling you, man, the Super Bowl party can be awesome, and I understand that. But there is nothing better in your entire sporting life than Super Bowls 27, 28, and 30, and not talking to anybody at that party except to high five and celebrate because you just scored another touchdown and you're on your way to winning the damn Super Bowl. And that's why I'm not going to relax. I'm not relaxed now. I'm not going to be relaxed until something changes or we show some sort of push that we can get back there. Wouldn't we all love to see January and February football where you give a damn again?
From the 972, they aren't sick of losing. Jerry didn't sound sick of it. Garrett didn't. Steven didn't. Why would the players? It starts at the top. From the 602, they are frauds. They meaning Jerry, Garrett, Marinelli, and his bust draft picks. From the 469, not panicking, just counting down the games until this pathetic staff is gone. The texts are just pouring in. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to figure out why me as a fan, this isn't a negative thing. I just want the team to have a better sense of urgency. And it does start with Jerry. It really does. It starts with him lighting a fire, putting some fear in what's going on. Now, maybe he doesn't need to do it yet. Maybe he lives by the Bill Parcells adage of, okay, after Thanksgiving, that's what our record is. What can I do to push the right button after Thanksgiving? And maybe he's holding on to that card. But, man, you don't want to be too far away from getting the opportunity to be in the playoffs. And, Kevin, we've seen a lot of teams. We've seen a lot of teams go into the playoffs. Well, you just saw the Nationals do it, didn't you?
Yeah.
They were not the favorite to win the World Series. We've seen teams do that before. They weren't the best during the regular season. They were the best at the right time. But, you know, this team, this Jason Garrett-led team, we've never really gotten the sense that they can be – that he can be the difference. And actually, let's go to cut 7, Shippy. Sean and RJ were talking with Jerry this morning, and they said, what do you say to Cowboys fans who say we are always at a disadvantage with coaching?
Well, I think that's a clever way of expressing saying the very same thing. When you don't win, usually the one that gets the most blame and gets the most credit for the loss, if you will, to be clever with my own structure, is the coach. Then you probably got the offensive coordinator, and I'm not trying to be trite, and then you've got the quarterback. And those guys usually the ones that get it on the head the most
when
you win. And I think that what you're saying is just another way of saying, look, on days like we're having yesterday and today, the day after a loss to a real good football team that played a really good football game, it's hard to beat a team that plays as well as Minnesota played Sunday.
Okay, couple things. First of all, he did not immediately go, well, that's a ridiculous statement, just as an aside. Secondly, can we play the last 10 seconds or so of that clip? Because the last 10 seconds or so, sorry, Corey, I know there's lots of audio, lots of news. The last 10 seconds of that clip freaking infuriate me. Play it again.
On days like we're having yesterday and today, the day after a loss to a real good football team that played a really good football game, it's hard to beat a team that plays as well as Minnesota played Sunday.
No, it's not. No, it is not. You know how I know that? Because you were within the 10-yard line. It is not that difficult to be. You didn't go up against the 85 Bears. You went up against the Minnesota Vikings team that was like exactly the same as you were going into this game. And you absolutely had the chance to win. And you absolutely had multiple chances to win. It is not, like, if you think it's a difficult task, fine. But the way he said, it is really hard to beat a team when they're playing that well. You were there!
The 817, tired of seeing other teams do better than us with less. And Kevin, you know, you saw it with, hey, the Eagles, the year they won the Super Bowl. They had less. They were injured that year. Still made it to the Super Bowl and won. You see the Cowboys get injuries. Connor Williams, people are going to freak out that Connor Williams is missing is a problem because he's going to have knee surgery. Well, Xavier Suafilo should be able to handle his job, right? He should be prepared for his job. Actually, I think he will be. I think you'll be probably better at the left guard position than you are with Connor Williams. But whenever I watch this team go up against a Drew Brees-less Saints, a Devontae Adams-less Packers team.
Well, we won those games, though, right?
Nope, those are losses. A team that did not have Adam Thielen on the field.
Oh, we won that game.
No, we lost that one too. They have gone up against teams that are missing key parts to their team and have not been able to expose it. And, you know, we were talking about that. The Cowboys have to be able to find something, expose it over and over and over until they prove that they can stop it. The Vikings could not stop the Cowboys' passing game. They were striking down the field, and the Cowboys stopped themselves. And that's, I think, where a lot of people get frustrated with Jason Garrett, is he seems to be the one that stumps themselves, hurts themselves over and over. Now, when listening, the big point we had about Tavon Austin was that the punt return, if Mr. Fourth and Long is right about what his source says, the punt returner was told by his special teams coach to fair catch that.
I believe that.
Jason Garrett told the media yesterday that they didn't do a good job of communicating what they wanted to accomplish, that they always want the player to have the opportunity to be a playmaker. But Kevin, I did bring up the idea that maybe it is a smart thing, because how many times do you see a punt return get called back and now you got 10 more yards added to your problem? But he might have gone to the house.
Exactly. And I think that that was some really fancy words from Jason Garrett to say, oh yeah, we didn't say anything. Like, I honestly, that's what I thought when you just described that, is that was his way of saying, oh yeah, no, we didn't really say anything to him about whether or not he should run back or whether or not he should fair catch or whether or not he should do any of those things. But you could tell straight away, he called that fair catch really, really early. He was absolutely told, in my estimation, he was absolutely told, you fair catch that punt.
Kevin, the other thing is, you had two runs, and I know people are saying, why didn't you throw the ball? I agree. If you're doing well at throwing the ball, keep doing it over and over. But you also have, as you said, 10,000 first-round draft picks invested in your offensive line. You have first-round draft pick plus money invested in your running back. You expect that if you get two chances to get 2 yards, Zeke's going to get it.
100%.
I know all game it didn't work, but you stubbornly expect that you are going to get it if you have 2 yards to get with Ezekiel Elliott. And that's what I understand the Cowboys thinking. I understand that they're like, hey, we're going to get 2 yards. And Amari Cooper said yesterday, he said, hey, listen, we were at second and two. 90% of the time, we get that.
Yeah.
And we would run it every time the same way. Dak Prescott even said, hey, look, after the game, he was like, look, man, if we had gotten that, nobody's concerned about whether or not we ran it, right? But because we didn't, now everybody's freaking out that we can't run the ball. We have to change our plays. Jerry was asked if he wanted the ball in Dak's hands whenever it came down to that kind of play.
I want us to be able to get it in there. How many times have we seen Dak keep it and take it in and run it in for the score? How many times have we seen him pull it and throw it back to the open receiver or tight end? I like that option down there on that goal line rather than just a straight called handoff or a straight called pass play.
Okay.
He liked the RPO. Some people are furious that you put Dak in that position, that you make him make that decision instead of saying, hey, just throw or just run. Some people are mad about that. But Jerry Jones says he likes the options for Dak to make the decision to get the play.
I am not against that. I'm really not, because I mean, at some point, if Dak is the quarterback we all think he's trending towards, or some people think he already is, then he'll make that correct call. Like, he will learn to make that correct call. And in this instance, like, I understand what Dak is saying, but like, welcome to the world of sports where you always get questioned when things don't work out the way that you want. Like, I understand why he said that, but I mean, he'll get ready for years and years more of that, buddy, of times where things didn't go the way you thought they would, even though you did the thing that you usually do. You'll always be questioned about that. That's the other thing I'm getting really, really tired of, and we can expand on this at another point. I am really sick of listening to history lessons about what used to work instead of focusing on what was working in the flow of the game. Like, I think it's awesome that a couple years ago you ran that play and it totally worked. I do. But I also thought it was awesome the drive before where you marched down the field and scored because of what you were doing. And I would much rather go with that historical perspective than the thing that worked back in 2017. I really, really would. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how far have the Mavs come and how far do they still have to go? Plus, how about we celebrate a little Sergei Zubov? Didn't get to do that yesterday. Now's the time, people. We'll do all of that next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Last night, you got a Monday night football game that was pretty exceptional and ended in a way that you were like, oh my gosh, that's two good football teams. Cowboys are going to have to go through them if they want to get to the Super Bowl. You also had Kristaps Porzingis not playing exceptionally well. He was bad last night. He was 1 of 11 shooting in 20 minutes, and he sat out the final 9 minutes of the game. 9 minutes and 4 seconds, by the way. And he had his fifth foul, and it was a decision by Rick Carlisle to bench Porzingis. Carlisle said, there's nights like this. We're just going to flush it and move forward. Porzingis said, of course I want to be out there, but can't blame him. I wasn't having a great game. I'm all in for whatever's best for the team. If the coach thinks he'd rather have me out and have someone else in that's having a better game, let's do it if we can win a basketball game. That's the most important thing. But going forward, I want to make sure I'm out there. Now, this dude is, signed a 5-year, $158 million maximum deal in July. He's averaging 18.3 on 40% shooting from the floor, Kevin. Is that good enough right now?
Oh, no. 40%? That's Tim Hardaway Jr. levels of inefficiency. I can't have that.
Yeah, and the Mavericks last night struggled against the Celtics to get offense going. Luka had an awesome game. I mean, that's what Luka does.
Yeah.
But the rest of the thing, you know, the rest of the team, they're relying on Kristaps to be that guy, but he's out of rhythm, man. He says he's struggling with the smaller guys that are getting in and underneath him, that their leverage underneath him is becoming a problem down in the post. He said that. He's having a problem with that. Now, he rebuilt his body so that he would be able to bang a little more down there. But I will say this. He needs to call Dirk. And the reason I say that is because Dirk used to have big problems with people that used to get, that were smaller and get underneath him. He always, like,
Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, Bruce Bowen used to eat Dirk alive until Dirk learned how to just say, you know what, screw it, I'm shooting over the top of you. You can't hold me.
Even Steven Jackson in that, you know, 2007 that nobody likes to talk about.
Yeah. Golden State, yeah, in the first round. No, those smaller guys would get in there, and they really cause problems for him. And, you know, Nelly knew that. So that's why Nelly was like, yeah, keep sending the short guys. Until Dirk finally got to a point where he was like, I know how to beat these guys. Kristaps needs to call Dirk to figure out how to be a big man.
He sucks like dirt.
No, no.
Whoa. Wow.
You need to ahead and destroy that evidence. He needs to call him up and say, hey, how did you do it? What can I do to change this? Because I can't be losing to smaller guards.
You know, I'm willing to, I guess in this instance, grant him a little bit of a pass just because you're going up against, you know, probably the best team in the East and the Kemba Walker show is running wild up over there in Boston. But after this, you go on the road against New York, and logically, you would think that would be the most motivated version of Kristaps that you could conceivably see, because that place is going to boo him out of the freaking building. Because the idea is that Kristaps threw a temper tantrum and overstated the level of his injury to get out of town. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm saying that is the perception among many a New Yorker. And then your schedule after that is not like, obviously Toronto's good, but then you got like San Antonio, Golden State, which who would have thought going into that you're like, oh yeah, that Golden State game could be a bit of a walkover. That's a really weird world that we live in. But your schedule is not like super oppressive over the next week and a half or so. And so I guess I'll grant him a little bit more time, but you're right. Yesterday's effort, if you're easily replaceable by Dwight Powell, that's concerning. You know, like nothing against Dwight Powell, but if you're easily replaceable by Dwight Powell, I'm not thinking of you as an elite player, and he might have just had a bad night. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'll hold off just like a week and a half or so, because like I said, I think his rebounding has already been better than I anticipated. And so that part, I'm willing to cut him some slack since some other areas have looked good.
Luca's a good friend of the show. He said, this happens to great players. They have bad nights. I think the next game he's going to have at least 30 points. He keeps working. He just came back from an injury. So he already threw the 30 points down on him. So
and
maybe
here's the next game, and where is it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is the Knicks.
In the Garden.
So maybe he is. Maybe that, you know, it's primed for him to go out and be the man. But Kevin, you know, this has been a team that, I don't think, did you have them in the playoffs?
No.
I have them in the playoffs, but barely. And Shippy, did you have this team in the playoffs this year?
I do. I think that towards the end of the season, they're going to start to mesh. This is obviously an early, you know, small sample size for KP, but he's coming off, like you guys are talking about, 2 years of not playing. Yeah. It's going to take him a minute to get his legs back under him.
Early on, they look really promising. Yeah. Just my prediction before the season, I was like, I think they're just going to miss out. I'm going to say 42-40. But, yeah. I mean, first 10 games, I think there's plenty of positive things to take away.
I have more like the 6-8 seed.
All right. Well, but that's the thing is, if Kristaps can't get going, if he can't find his way, if they can't mesh at some point, do you believe that this team can do it at all?
No.
That's concerning because, look, you know, I agree with you. I think they should mesh. But I'm thinking the rest of the group should mesh around those two. But if Luka is the guy that's, you know, in rhythm, he has the ball in his hands all the time, he's doing things, and Kristaps like, I can't find a rhythm, Carlisle is doing things to make sure I get the ball a little more. You know, he's saying sometimes I'm not going to get the ball as much as I'd like to.
Sure.
And that leads me to maybe forcing some things and so on. It's a work in progress. I know coach is trying to do the best job he can to get me the ball in the offense and utilize my skills. And I also got to do better job of making sure I'm effective in those situations. Dirk was efficient. Dirk was also the point of where the ball went. Luka is the key to that. He's also got to distribute to a guy and not have him feel like he's forcing anything. They got to find that rhythm together.
Look, the unfortunate fact, and I know a lot of people got bent out of shape the last time I said something along these lines, but if Kristaps doesn't work for you outside of he and Luka, you don't have another top 100 player in the league on your team. You just don't. Like, if you think Powell develops into that, you think Kleba develops into that, you think Brunson develops into that, fair enough. I'm not here to argue against any of that. But at this moment in time, I do not believe you have another top 100 NBA player on your roster. And so obviously Luka's working just fine. So let's just throw him out of the equation.
He's the number one player in the NBA.
Okay, well, all right. I disagree.
Why
with
do
that.
You hate Luka, Kevin?
See, and that's why I was even hesitant to say, obviously, I disagree with that. But
I wish I had a drop for Hagee that's like Corey's Dirk drop.
But so if Chris,
I bet you will at some point. He says it enough.
Yeah,
we'll
just
see.
Just keep recording. It'll come up.
Stay tuned.
So if it's not Kristaps that's working, then I think you'll start to slide back to the rest of the pack. But again, I'm not ready to say that because I think that defensively and shot blocking wise, he's already been a little bit better than I thought. Rebounding, he's been quite a bit better than I anticipated. So while the rest isn't there yet, I'm not going to rule out that it won't be there. And he even admitted, like, I'm not in basketball shape.
Well, like, offensively, I think the frustrating thing is some of those poor shots that he's taking. And then also he's 7'3", and when he doesn't have his game going, it looks like he's reluctant to go inside where he has that natural advantage.
Okay, I'm glad that you said that. We need to do a PSA for everybody listening right now. If you're expecting, like, old Twin Towers, Ralph Sampson, and Hakeem Olajuwon style banging down in the paint, it ain't never going to happen.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that you won't see him go down in the paint occasionally.
Maybe you can develop a one-legged fade.
Hey, that'd be awesome. I support any developments that will help him get a more effective in close to the basket game. But if you're ever looking for days where his jump shot's not falling and he just starts motioning down into the paint, that's not going to happen. Like, I've watched him play basketball for several years. It is not.
Sometimes you look
happen.
Out there and he's at the midcourt logo and you're like, what exactly are you doing for my team out there?
Yeah, you're too far away from the basket, buddy. Guys, did you see the news that Sergei Zubov is going to get his jersey retired?
Hell yeah!
877-881-1053. How many of you know who Sergei Zubov is?
Man, okay.
I know
better
who
all.
He is.
No.
Better but all. Unless you're like 12.
I'm super glad that he asked that question. Because I do feel like Sergei Zubov is the great Dallas Stars player that has been lost to the next generation. Like, you think about some of those people from the Cup. Like, for example, I mean, hell, we just had freaking Ed Belfour on, and he was there at Fanniversary.
Yeah.
We just had Craig Ludwig. He was there at Fanniversary. So everybody knows them. Obviously, we know them. Everybody knows Brett Hull scored the goal. Everybody in the universe knows Mike Modano. But I don't know how many people, like, truly understand how freaking awesome Sergei Zubov was. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he just got inducted in June, finally.
Yeah, they put anybody in.
It's okay. It's not the Basketball Hall of Fame. And so I definitely believe that. He's a four-time All-Star, and he was the guy who was, like, the defensive stalwart while you were making those runs to the Cup in 90, winning the Cup in 99 and then losing the Cup in 2000. Sergei Zubov was running that show, and he was also somebody who could score for you from the defensive. I feel like he made the concept of the offensive defenseman cool, at least down in these parts.
Yeah, so if you're enjoying watching Miro Heiskanen right now with the Dallas Stars, obviously it's his second year. He had a great rookie season. He's following up that with another nice season here. Sergei Zubov was the original Miro Heiskanen. And we talked about this actually with on Sweaters Forever with Gavin Spittle, which you can download on 1053thefan.com. Ooh. It's a Dallas Stars podcast. We'll record our next episode this week. But we talked about Sergei Zubov and kind of if he were to play in today's NHL. I mean, he put up a lot of points for a defenseman in that NHL where they were allowed to hit each other. They didn't cause many penalties. They weren't worried about opening up the game, and they weren't looking for high-scoring NHL games. If Sergei Zubov played in today's NHL, his point output would be insane. He did this all when they talk about, like, Michael Jordan in his era, right? And it's like, well, if Michael Jordan played in today's NBA, he'd be twice what LeBron is, yada, yada. That you can make that same argument for Sergei Zubov from the old NHL to today's NHL.
Yeah, he had a vision up ice that I don't think many people have.
Yeah.
His ability, you know, you could move everybody forward because he could move the puck up the ice so fast. You skipped a step. You didn't have to get one to the next guy. You could just use him from your goal, and he's moving the puck up the ice, and that was always one of his greatest attributes. Plus, he was a smooth player.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever you saw him on the ice, that's one of the reasons that the Stars have held on to Klingberg as long as they have, because whenever you see Klingberg, you're like, that's the same skill set. He can move the puck up the ice. He can also get up there and be able to score, too. So that's one of the reasons they've liked him so much, because his ability to strike like that. But, yeah, Zubov was that guy that that was part him and Sador together. I saw somebody text
Darryl
this in.
Yeah, Sador. I like
Darryl Sador. And Darian Hatcher.
Those three guys.
That was the dude who protected him.
They were a dominant defense, and they were the grinders, but they also had a skill set that was very unique to that team.
Darian Hatcher always struck me as your more like prototypical, especially in the 90s, defenseman, where you thought like him and his mullet might freaking kill you.
I was at North Park Mall one day, and he was walking through with his kid on his shoulder, and I was frightened for that kid because he was so high up in the air.
Sure.
I was like, oh my, and I'm a tall guy, and then he was making me look short, and I was like, that kid, if he falls, he's in trouble.
Now, he would never allow such a thing to happen. I know there are more jerseys up there in the rafters, but what I will say about this is Zubov is really the third Stars player.
Right, because Neil Broughton was with the Minnesota North.
And I know he got here like right at the beginning, and then you have Bill Goldsworthy and Bill Masterson from back in the day with the North Stars, but really, it's Modano and then Yuri Letnin.
Jerry Letnin.
Yes. And now, yes. And now Sergei Zubov joins the crew. So congratulations. They're going to pick a ceremony for the date when the schedule is released in June. He will get his jersey retired. Very, very cool stuff. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, college football on a Tuesday featuring the fall of Alabama, crowd surfing, and pre-World War I history. Next right here on The Fan.
We're going to beat them in recruiting. We're going to beat them in everything.
He's the best.
As LSU rolled Alabama, you know what? We'll ask Hellman about that in just a little bit, too. Ed Orgeron is the best. And later this afternoon, I am going to play the Sean and RJ they spied on Louisiana radio. It was pretty good. I really like that. So I'm looking forward to it. But Kevin, LSU should be leaping into the number one spot over Ohio State today, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm hoping that's the case for that team. Let's talk a little college football on a Tuesday.
So obviously we'll start with Alabama versus LSU. LSU scored twice in like the last 25 seconds of the half to take a 33-13 lead. That was Alabama's biggest deficit at half in a home game since 2000.
Oh.
When they trailed Ole Miss by 21. Just in case you thought Alabama's always been good. Alabama's last home loss came in 2015 versus Ole Miss. They had 31 straight home wins, which had been the longest such streak in all of Division I football. And I don't care what they want me to call it. I will call it Division I football. Joe Burrow, quarterback for LSU, Heisman favorite, rocketing up the draft charts. He had his seventh game with 300 yards or more passing. That is the most in LSU history in a season already.
Yeah, and we're not even to Thanksgiving yet.
Nope.
So that's pretty impressive. Somebody from the 214 just texted in and said Jerry needs to pull out all the stops to bring the LSU head coach on.
This press conference would change your life. I'm going to tell you something right now about a running game.
I think that the idea of just, changing your passing coordinator is the entire difference for LSU. Kevin, you talk about 1987 football.
Yes.
LSU was stuck in 1950.
100%.
And they said, what can we do? So all they did was call the Saints passing game coordinator and said, hey, you want to just come talk shop with us? He shows up. They have the conversation. They're like, we're hiring you. And now they have the most explosive offense in the entire country. And it's awesome. It's awesome to watch, man.
Did you guys see after they won, the LSU players went over to the Alabama recruits and were telling them, like, hey, what are you guys doing? You guys want to go to Bama or do you want to come join us at LSU?
Yes, absolutely. And Ed Orgeron was asked about that game and about that tactic. He said, I think it's phenomenal. We had a lot of recruits at that game, too. I texted them, and they called me. I think a lot of them were wearing their gold and purple socks tonight. So he dug it, man. And you heard what he said about Roll Tide. Now, he also followed up, it's unfortunate.
Roll Tide, what? You!
So he said it's unfortunate that that's made it out into the world. But the rest of his speech was, well, before the game, he just went out there and said, I don't need to give you a pep talk because we're the better team. And that would really sick with me. I'd be like, hell yeah. And then he said after the game, he goes, this is the beginning. We're going to out-recruit them. We're going to be better than them, and we're going to beat them every single year. And this is a guy that several people were like, why did you hire him? I don't know about any of this.
Yeah, there were a lot of concerns, but I think just his simple passion, man.
Absolutely.
Who he is and what he represents. You know, he is LSU.
Oh.
To a T.
100%.
And, you know, that when it comes to the alumni and all that, that's where that mattered the most first. They bought in. The players then bought in on the guy, too.
I think, and you said, are they going to go up to number one? If they don't go up to number one, the college football playoff is stupid because LSU now has four regular season wins over the top 10. That is the first time a team has done that since Miami in 1987. That's how long it's been. So that was huge. And let it not be said that politics can't ever get involved in anything. Former Heisman Trophy winner and Alabama star Mark Ingram, why does he think that Alabama lost? He said, quote, on Twitter, I'm blaming Trump for this one. Soon as they showed him at the game, we had that bad swacky. So,
swacky?
Unquote.
I love that, man.
So, that was the blame from Alabama for Mark Ingram. But quite frankly, you can just look at it and say, you know what? LSU is probably the better team. And now Alabama is not going to make the college football playoff. I mean, they still could, but I would be willing to bet that they do not. Let's go to the team, though, that, oh my God, this team has long since won my heart. And I...
Mizzou?
No, sorry.
UT?
Shippy, hell no.
Whoa! There are a lot of UT fans out there, Kevin. You can't just take shots at them like that.
Oh, okay, I won't. Hey, thank you for listening. I just want you to know, I hope your team loses every single week.
Dude, come on!
Oh, but also, my son is probably going to go to your school. Is that...
Whoa.
Yeah, my kids too.
Does that help?
Even though I'm an OU fan.
Okay, well, there you go.
I might go back.
So, the team, of course, that I'm talking about is Minnesota. Minnesota defeated Penn State in what some people call the monumental upset, unless you listen to KNC and you're like, no, that's what I thought was going to happen, because that's what KNC told me was going to happen. They specifically said, see if you can find a money line and see if you can bet on that game straight up. Minnesota won. They jumped up to number 7 in both the AP and the coaches poll. I would imagine they would probably be top 8 tonight when the college football playoff rankings are released. But fear not. Minnesota, they're in if they win out, because they would have to win the Big Ten championship over Ohio State.
I'm interested in the Iowa game a lot, Kevin.
Iowa's a quality team.
That is a quality team. You have to go there to play that game, too. And I don't think that Iowa's ever an easy place to play.
Just for the record, Minnesota is not the favorite in that game.
They shouldn't be.
I just saw... They're 2.5.
Who did I offend with that statement? You
offended me.
Okay.
And Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Minnesota, by the way, Corey, is 9-0 for the first time since 1904. 1904! I'm going to look up that Minnesota team. That must have been really, really good. And by the way, afterwards, if you wonder why the team loves PJ Fleck so much, he ran out there and he crowd surfed.
What?
So he ran into the locker room, jumped up, and he crowd surfed. Ah, I have a follow-up on the 1904 Minnesota team. Guess who they beat in their final game of the season? Iowa. They beat them 11-0.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
11-0?
11-0.
How do you score 11?
That's a great question. And what if I told you, hold on, what if I told you that's not even close to the weirdest score they had all year? First of all, a couple weeks before that, they beat Nebraska 16-12. That was the only game all year in which they gave up points.
Whoa.
They started the season in fantastic fashion by beating Twin Cities Central High, which also sounds like a high school.
It's a high school.
107-0.
Sounds like a prep school.
They defeated South Dakota. Then they beat Shattuck 75-0 on their way to the Grinnell game, where they won 146-0.
Grinnell?
What?
Grinnell.
They beat 146-0?
That's right.
Their first game, they scored 107.
Yeah.
Did they finish up against Hogwarts? Like,
no,
how did this go?
I already told you they finished against Iowa.
What the hell?
The week before they beat Hufflepuff.
I wish I was alive for that.
I know, right? Don't we all? So we'll never top that 1904 Minnesota team, but still good stuff. Not good stuff if you're a Pac-12 referee. Go ahead.
I just wanted to throw something out there. Did you happen to see the little kid that was dressed up as PJ Fleck?
Yes, I did, with the bald cap and everything.
Yeah, man, he looked awesome. He's a little baby just wearing a tie.
If you don't have Minnesota fever, I don't know what to tell you. Now, the Pac-12, they had to suspend a referee.
And what?
No, they did. This is really...
For targeting?
It's even
worse. Oh, no, it's a serious story?
No. Oh, okay. No, you're fine. Ooh. Feel free to feel free to make all of the jokes that you like.
Okay.
So, in the third quarter, Cal committed an illegal hands-to-the-face penalty on a kickoff play. On that play, Washington State returned the ball to midfield. Now, again, I cannot stress this enough. The penalty is against Cal. So the ball should have been advanced to the 35 of Cal. Instead, he gave the penalty to Washington State, even though he definitely called it against Cal and said since it happened inside the 15, it was half the distance to the goal. So instead of being on the 35, you go all the way back to your own 8.
Oh, no.
Hence, the penalty cost them 57 yards.
They couldn't correct that in real time?
Mike Leach went insane and yelled and yelled and yelled.
Never heard him yell before.
Nobody realized that there was a problem until Washington State ran an offensive play. At that point, it was too late. So the referee has been suspended one game while all members of his crew have been, quote, downgraded. I don't exactly know what that means. The Pac-12 literally said they had been downgraded.
Because of their refereeing?
Yeah, because everyone just stood around. And they're like, I don't know.
Kevin, a lot of people were asking about that Minnesota team from the 214. How many scoregamis does the 04 Minnesota team have?
Oh, that's a good question.
From the 972, give me the under on Minnesota versus Iowa, 1904. And from the 972, Dallas Cowboys 2020 head coach PJ Fleck.
Oh, hell yeah. Look, if you just need to know how weird this Minnesota 1904 team was, here are the first five games that they played. They beat Twin Cities Central High 107-0. They beat South Dakota 77-0. They beat Shattuck 75-0. They beat Carleton 65-0. That seems unfair. Oh, it's just one guy. And then they beat St. Thomas 47-0. Then they played a string where they played Grinnell, Nebraska, Lawrence, and Wisconsin.
From the 972, they were asking Shippy, you wish you were alive for that game? Have fun with diphtheria and polio.
I will.
Man, that's a good point. But they did win the Western Conference, so that's a thing that happened.
They beat the Warriors?
I mean, anybody can beat the Warriors right now.
Oh, man.
Guys, let's go to Arkansas football.
Okay.
Arkansas football is seriously the worst.
Yeah, man.
They lost to Western Kentucky 45-19 over the weekend, not too long after they lost at home to San Jose State. So they fired Chad Morris, who was 4-18 at Arkansas.
22 games.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, you know who they picked Chad Morris instead of?
Matt Rhule,
the Baylor coach. Baylor, of course, in case you didn't know, they pulled out a, holy crap, a heart-stopping victory over the weekend. And Baylor is number 10 in the coaches poll, number 12 in the AP poll after they won in multiple overtimes against TCU. However, they remain undefeated. So Matt Rhule has won twice as many games this year as Chad Morris won in his almost 2 years at Arkansas. Whoops.
Did you hear what Matt Rhule told his guys about this stretch that they're about to go on? He was talking to his players, and they're getting ready to play OU.
Yep.
And that's going to be a big game.
Texas too. Yeah.
And his quote was, "Can we all just give our best for the next 21 days? We have three chances to play. Maybe we'll win all three. Maybe we won't. I don't know that. But can we just give our best for each other for 21 days? That's a good approach. I don't like the whole, like, hey, we might not win, but I guess you don't want to plant that seed of doubt. But you don't also want your team to quit in case you do have a road bump.
Baylor is the home team against Oklahoma. What do you think the spread is on that game?
Oklahoma 9.5.
10 points. Oh. Even though Baylor's the home team, that means if OU was the home team, they'd be 17-point favorites against an undefeated team. So, look, you don't have to play the disrespect card. It's just sitting right there for you.
And from the 817, 1919, A&M went undefeated and unscored upon, Kevin.
Okay, we'll get back with more old-timey football at another time. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Dave Hellman's LSU Celebration of Joy. Plus, we'll probably talk about the Cowboys next right here on The Fan.
Roll Tide, what? F*** you!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.